Good morning, everyone. My name is Laura, and I will be doing the first Bible reading, which is from Leviticus 23. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'These are my appointed festivals of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Wherever you live, it is a Sabbath to the Lord. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's festival of unleavened bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days, present a food offering to the Lord. And on the seventh day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work." The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, 'When you enter the land I am going to give you and you reap its grain, you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice as a burnt offering to the Lord a lamb a year old without defect, together with its grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with olive oil, a food offering presented to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, and its drink offering of 1/4 of a hin of wine. You must not eat any bread or roasted or new grain until the very day you bring this offering to your God. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count off 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves made of 2/10 of an ephah of the finest flour baked with yeast as a wave offering of first fruits to the Lord. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, each a year old and without defect, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They will be a burnt offering to the Lord, together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, a food offering and aroma pleasing to the Lord. Then sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 lambs, each a year old, for a fellowship offering. The priest is to wave the 2 lambs before the Lord as a wave offering, together with the bread of the first fruits. They are a sacred offering to the Lord for the priest. On that same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God." The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." The Lord said to Moses, "The 10th day of this seventh month is the day of atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Do not do any work on that day, because it is the day of atonement when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. Those who do not deny themselves on that day must be cut off from their people. I will destroy from among their people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. It is a day of Sabbath rest for you, and you must deny yourselves. From the evening of the 9th day of the month until the following evening, you are to observe your Sabbath." The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month of the Lord's Festival of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord, and on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do no regular work. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies for bringing food offerings to the Lord. The burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings required for each day. These offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Sabbaths, and in addition to your gifts and whatever you have vowed, and all the freewill offerings you give to the Lord. So beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festivals to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of Sabbath rest, and the eighth day also is a day of Sabbath rest. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters, so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses announced to the Israelites the appointed festivals of the Lord.
Well, that was a marathon. I'm reading from Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 28. And things are so much more simple in the New Testament. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'"
Thanks, Kathy. And thank you, Laura. Congratulations, Molly and family. The pressure's on now for Robin, isn't it, to put together a romantic mix or a playlist for his wife. I have managed to get onto playlists. We still do have CDs in the house. Actually, we have VHS cassettes and tape cassettes and vinyl and the means to play them. So check out who's getting old. Hey, we're continuing in our series called, in fact, this is the final installment, called Walking with a Holy God. And the title of today's talk is called To All of Life Worship. Can you remember the last day you had a rest day? I mean, like a real rest day. I mean, like a proper Sabbath. Can you remember? Some of us have them every day. But I do remember a time when we used to have Sundays, and Sundays had no shops open and no sports games on. Are you in the space where you can remember those days? Things were different then, hey. Hey, I thought you might not find this fun. I'll find it fun. I'd share with you my Sabbath that I had this week, just to give you a little bit of a picture. I'm rejoicing to be with you here today, but for me, this is a work day. So I have a different day in the week. And so I kicked off on Friday at 5 a.m. on my Sabbath. I went to the Illawarra prayer breakfast, and followers of Jesus gathered to pray and sing and hear a testimony from a brother about how Jesus' forgiveness for him played out in his life to be able to forgive somebody who really had committed the unforgivable sin. And what an extraordinary morning that was to hear of the power of the forgiveness of God. Then spent a bit of time with the Lord, and then went and, for those who don't know what that is, that's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That's what I do to get my thrills and kicks. I had a bit of a nap, as you do on a rest day, and then spent most of the afternoon preparing the car for an adventure with my family, my wife and my children and some friends, to go and see Four King and Country perform. Did anybody get to go to that concert? Yeah, wow, wasn't that something special? I'll tell you, they're a Christian band who showed us how to blend getting together and music and stories with an all-of-life worship experience. I was in a room with 9,500, mostly strangers, some of you were there, but mostly strangers, and yet we had that sense of being the Lord's family. It was a little taste of heaven, something quite special. And then on the Saturday morning, I get up and tend to try and plug into a mob down in Melbourne that we used to gather with, who are called Beit HaMashiach. It's a mix of Jewish and Gentile believers, rather like we are here. They sing a song to kick off the day. Can I sing it for you? It goes, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, actually properly it goes, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. There's not a whisper of anybody joining in, is there? So we'll leave that there. But it goes on and on. And basically what it means is rest, as in Sabbath, and Shalom, which means peace. And the reason I share all this with you is because we're finishing up Leviticus today. We've been thinking about what it means to be called to costly worship and then called to holiness. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at the role of Aaron, the high priest, who made offerings for atonement, getting right with God. And we saw how actually atonement with God, getting right with God, is only possible through Jesus, who made the perfect sacrifice. And then last week, we saw how God's Spirit enables us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And today we have a focus. When it comes to all of life worship, it's actually about what the Sabbath means and how peace with God is what it is all about. So the big idea for today, just to put it in a nutshell, all of life worship begins with, is with, and rests with Jesus, Messiah. Sabbath can, you know, we had a men's event yesterday. For some, that was their Sabbath. A women's event last week. Some people went to weddings. Some people have birthdays. There's a bunch of people down training to share the gospel with others. Sabbath has all manner of shapes, but ultimately, it has Jesus at the center. So I'm going to pray for us. Father God, we pray that today from your word, you'd help us to understand how it is possible to have peace with God, how it is necessary to have peace with God, and how that all comes about through the person and work of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that as we understand that better, you would give us hearts that long for all of life worship that begins with and is with and rests with Jesus Messiah, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, the reading of Leviticus 23, which was, let's face it, a long reading, comes actually in a portion of reading normally that has another two chapters, one either side. And that's normally read with Ezekiel 44 and with a New Testament reading from 1 Peter. And at the very beginning of that reading, we hear God giving a command to his chosen priest Moses, saying, say to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and then a big list of commands about how they're to conduct themselves as priests. You remember how the lineage is from Abraham, who fathered Isaac, who fathered Jacob, and then Jacob had 12 sons. And this whole priestly business came about through different generations. It began with Jacob's son Levi. We see this in Genesis 4 to 6 and Exodus 6. And then Aaron was the grandson of Levi, we read in Numbers 17. And so only people who were born into that lineage could come right into the presence of God in the holy space in the tabernacle and the temple. So basically what you had was an arrangement where there were sort of three tiers within the Israelite Jewish community. You had the Israelites, and then you had this sort of inner circle of the Levites, and then you had the Kohen, or the descendants in Aaron's priestly world. And when you came into the tabernacle where God resided, only the Kohen, only the descendants of Aaron, the priests, could come right into the presence of that holy space. And then only once a year, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, could the high priest come in to the Holy of Holies to be in the presence of God. And that's because God is holy. He is set apart. He is utterly pure and perfect, not like any of us who've got our frailties and imperfections. He is perfect. And he said, Israelites, if you want to dwell with me, you need to make sure you keep yourselves from dishonoring my name, and you need to do certain things to remain my chosen holy people. But then, weirdly, as we get to the, as Kathy described it, simpler New Testament, which in some ways it is, we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 that actually every follower of Jesus is called to be members of a holy priesthood. So there's no kind of barriers like that anymore. We're all offered the chance to draw near to God through faith in Jesus. And what that means is that those of us who know Jesus are enabled with his help and his spirit to live lives of love as followers of Jesus, who fulfilled God's good law as the perfect high priest when he made the one sacrifice of himself on the cross for the sins of the brokenness of the world and bring us forgiveness. Each of us now can be called to all of life worship. And as we think about this individually and together as a church family, and we dig deeper into chapter 23, we're going to consider what all of life worship looks like for us. I've only got about 20 minutes this morning, so I'm going to encourage us to follow up again with Pete Lanahan's really helpful Bible studies, which are on our website, if you want to get a little bit deeper. And can I encourage all of us, if we've been reading through Leviticus, persevere to the end. Let's get that whole book read and appreciated. The big idea again is all of life worship begins with Jesus, is with Jesus, and rests with Jesus, Messiah. And I move on to my second point now about life of worship. All of life worship is with Jesus, Messiah. Leviticus is such a cleverly structured book. It's a hard to read book. But on the other hand, it begins with the korban. Or you remember like the sacrifices and the offerings, and we said actually that word really means drawing near to God. And it ends with Kodesh, which means holy and set apart. So what it does is it says, draw near to God, the Holy One who is unapproachable. And Leviticus basically says, this is how this is possible. And at the beginning, we have all the offerings and the sacrifices to draw near. But then at the end, we have, what does it mean to be a holy people? And actually, there's loads of feasting and festivals. Did you see all that? It's a bit hard to unpick it in the text, but can I just paint the picture for you? There's 8 recognized festivals. I know that we hear about Jewish people celebrating Chanukah, the Festival of Lights around Christmas time, and Purim from the Book of Esther. Those aren't included here, but the ones that are included include Pesach or Passover, which often aligns with Good Friday, Easter time. We've looked at this stuff before, so I'm not going to over egg our pudding over here. I'm just going to go through pretty briefly, right? You've got the Festival of the Unleavened Bread. You've got the Festival of First Fruits, Thanksgiving to God. You've got Shavuot that we looked at because that aligns with Pentecost. Again, you can get online to hear that talk. And then you've got the second half of the year, which is the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, or literally Yom Teruah, which means the really noisy day where everybody gets to blast trumpets. But it's kind of cool because it's actually to awaken us to the need to repent and turn again to God. And then also Yom Kippur, excuse me, which is the Day of Atonement, which we looked at in Leviticus 19. Then there's Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles or tents. Still today, Jewish people will go and make tents in their garden and move out of the house and live in the tent to remember the times, as we read, when God delivered his people from slavery in Egypt. And before they got into the land and were able to build a temple and houses and what have you, they lived in tents together, trusting God. All of these feasts and all of these festivals ultimately are pointing forward to when God himself would come and make his dwelling amongst us in the person of his son, Jesus. Now, all these times are called holy days, literally in Hebrew, good times. And so actually, there's a great encouragement to the people of God to spend a lot of time celebrating together, rejoicing together, to down tools, if you like, and not to get so preoccupied with work and the busyness of life. It's not a day on which we say, have a lazy, sleepy day, although I do recommend an afternoon nap after you're 50. But it's a time at which we move out of the busyness of work and families and responsibilities and sports. And God says, this is a special day of rest to spend with me, to remember your God and a rest with him. And in fact, you saw perhaps, if you're alert, that I skipped the very first festival celebration, which is the Sabbath, the day apart, that day that used to be the day which was the day when the week ended. Actually, do you know we're very blessed in the Western world based on a Judeo-Christian foundation? Because what did we get? We get the double day weekend. Did you realize the blessing of the double day weekend came from the fact that the Jewish people celebrate the Sabbath on the Saturday and the church ended up landing on the Sunday? And in history, they just said, oh, well, let's have 2 days. Wasn't that rather lovely? But actually, it was meant to be one day in God's design, as we'll see a bit later. And also, I was hearing earlier, actually, one of the guys from 8 o'clock was saying how his father had petitioned for the standardized 8-day week. There used to be a time when we worked 9 to 5. Do you remember that? I mean, these days, what are younger guys, it's kind of almost 5 to 9, isn't it? Wake up at 5, you know, get back by 9. I think we live in a world where there's a real preoccupation with busyness. And yet God says in verse 9, with hearts that belong to me, bring your first fruits. And in verse 30, he says, be aware that if you deny this Sabbath day, this rest with me, there will be judgment. It's quite a strong thing to say, isn't it? I want your wholehearted presence with me. But if you don't get into that space, there's going to be consequences. Blessing for being with me, bruising for denying it. It's not because God's a megalomaniac. This isn't just rhetoric. God wants his people to be wholehearted for him. And we ignore his gift of peace with him at our own destruction. He wants all of life worship of him because he gave his life in all its fullness. The person of Jesus was God in the flesh. And he left his throne in heaven to be amongst us, to live his life in service of people who really couldn't live in the perfect obedience and endure the holiness of God. Jesus gave his all. Jesus is the one who is our salvation, and he fulfills the very word of God by laying down his life for us. He is the one who shapes our lives by his Spirit, enables us to have hearts that long for God and long for the good of others, what's called sanctification in the Bible. And so it is that all of life worship begins with Jesus, is with Jesus, and finally rests with Jesus. You see, the Sabbath is described as the most important of the holy days and good times. How can this be? Well, we need to go back to the very beginning. Do you remember in Genesis how we read that God created everything? And then on the sixth day, he came to the point where he created people made in his own image. And then what did he do in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2? The seventh day, God rested. It says, in 6 days, God made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, he rested. And then, according to Exodus 20, verse 11, he blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He set this day apart that would be an enduring day. Fast forward from Genesis to Exodus, and this special day, this Sabbath, this Shabbat, was part of God's promise. In fact, in his covenant with his people at that time, remember how he gave 10 commandments to Israel at Mount Sinai that they might know how to live with a perfect God. And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Have no idols. Honor my name. And then what was the fourth commandment? He says, Exodus 28 and 9, remember the, it's the same theme, guys. I'm not trying to trick you. The Sabbath. And then in Deuteronomy, he says, verse 12 to 15 of chapter 5, must observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. I just want us to think a little bit about what that means. Why is there a distinction between remembering the Sabbath and observing the Sabbath? I think we find it very hard to realize, because we're Western libertarian individualists, that God calls his community not only to remember, but also to observe as one thing. For with God, his command of his people to hear is to obey. We are like soldiers under military orders as God's people. We're going to unpack this a lot more in October for our commitment series. What it means to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. that this Sabbath or rest might be the means of peace with God and remembering all that he has done through Jesus. Only Jesus knew what the Sabbath really meant. In fact, that's why when we read in Mark 2 that Jesus was walking through the grain fields with his disciples and he began to pick some heads of grain, we saw the Pharisees who said to him, why are they doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath? See, in Jesus' day, the good law of God that provided for his precious people had got corrupted and twisted into something legalistic and burdensome by the religious leaders of the day. Jesus turns to them and he says, have you ever read what David, you remember King David in Israelite history? What he and his companions did when they were hungry and in need. In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he went into the house of God, the temple, and he ate some of the set apart bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he gave it to his companions too. It's a story from 1 Samuel 21. He took this special bread set apart for God and he ate it. He wasn't yet king, by the way, but by the by, he gave it to his companions to eat. Jesus wants them to understand that a good God lovingly provides for his people, not wanting them to keep God's law just for its own sake, or that somehow they can curry favor with God, but rather because God is good and sets up a means for him to be worshipped and for his people to rest with him and trust him. Because he cares. And so here we get to that sentence that Jesus says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so the Son of Man, Jesus himself, is Lord even of the Sabbath. The law of God is not a means to be unloving towards God's precious ones. It's not a way to manipulate and control people into rule keeping. In fact, today we live in the season of a Sabbath of rest because Jesus has come amongst us as God himself. And in Jesus, we see God in person and is concerned to save us and secure us with him as his family for all eternity. All of life worship rests with Jesus. So that all said, what does that matter? What does this mean for us today? Well, I had a day off on Friday through Saturday morning. Some of us have had a day off on Saturday and some of us have a day off today. But the point is that on the Sabbath, what do we actually do? We don't just cut off. We come together. And we come together with the Lord. We as a church celebrate what Jesus has done and continues to do amongst us. And that is to affirm and continue peace with God and enable us for peace with one another. All those sacrifices that we saw at the beginning of Leviticus, we saw the korban, the burnt offering, the grain offering of new life, the sin offering for recognition of sins paid for by God, the guilt offering, recognizing your guilt and mine that needed to be cleansed. But then the very final one, the pivotal one, is the peace offering, about having a right relationship with God. And all of these, in and of themselves, never actually did anything other than remind God's people that to draw near to him, he would be the one who would make that possible through his son Jesus, who did it. And so as we remember and observe God's Sabbath, the first thing that we need to do is to make sure that our trust is in Jesus. You know, Molly today has been baptized and Molly's family has made these declarations to pray for her and encourage her to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus all her life, because there's only one way to be right with God. We heard from John 3:16, God loved the world in this, he gave his only son, that whomever would have faith in him will not perish but have eternal life. Trusting the one whom God sent into the world to make him right with us, trusting Jesus is the first thing that each and every one of us needs to do in response to what we hear. To remember and observe, to hear and obey, is to trust the one whom God sent with the whole heart. Jesus made us right with God on the cross, and he brings peace with God. And I plead with you, as the Spirit leads you now to surrender yourself into that space if you've not done so already. Secondly, for those of us who are sitting here with Jesus and perhaps feeling weary, and I know that there are really some amongst us who simply need a holiday. Some of us have been gunning on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Be assured, firstly, that the final Sabbath is coming. God has prepared for his people an eternal, final, enduring feast that we read about in Revelation 21. And all the weariness of this world is calibrated by that eternal hope in which we share. And know too that those of our dearly departed in the Lord Jesus Christ are there with him in heaven already. They have the first fruits of that experience, and they are feasting with the Lord Jesus as they too await the consummation and coming together of all things in a new creation. But for now, it might be that you need to listen to the Lord and it's time to regroup. It may even be that for some of us, there's enduring sickness or perhaps that world weariness that is simply God's way of saying, I said stop. Trust me. Press into me. Sometimes it's just taken a long weekend. Sometimes it's taken those holidays. Sometimes it's taking long service leave. Sometimes it might even be an enforced redundancy. Or as I was chatting with a brother out this morning, a long period of recuperation after surgery where he gets to sit with the Lord and spend time thinking about the next phase of life. To be prayerfully intentional with the Sabbath seasons that God gives us. To make the most of the trip. I mean, we don't want to be, do we, joining the lines of grain nomads who get in their caravans and travel around Australia to see everything that they can and then travel around on the boats and the planes to see a dying world. Let us lend ourselves to meaningful Sabbaths. Intentionally as we go, think about missionaries that we can go to encourage or friends that we can go to affirm. Sabbath is good, it is God's gift, but let us not denude it of its meaning and purpose. And finally, for those of us who are stepping out with Jesus, full in strength and vigor, we are military men and women under orders, brothers and sisters. We do not hear and obey simply to curry favor with God. Jesus knocked all that rule-keeping to please God stuff for a six. He said, trust me, and then in my strength, delight in the word of God, because he wrote it, and it's very good for us. And when he calls us to honor the Sabbath, let us continue to set time aside for him and to be fruitful for him. And a little message for us today. Let us be persistent in honoring the full counsel of God. I know that as you've been reading Leviticus with me, there are some really tricky bits in there, aren't there? There are some awkward conversations about things said in Leviticus with our friends and family, postures concerning wealth and health and sexuality. They are contrary to what the majority of our friends and neighbors think today. But when Jesus entered into this world, he was opposed. Because his ways are the ways of light. And he brings light to the darkness of a dark world. And he exposes the brokenness. He shines light in dark places to rob people of their power and their possessions. And ultimately, he comes to set captives free from spiritual darkness. Our slavery to sin, the world, and the devil. To bring us peace with God. Let us be assured of the value and the relevance of the word of God, Old Testament or New, today as it has been throughout all history. And Jesus is for everyone. And the peace that he brings lasts forever. It's not a world peace. It is an eternal peace. And it is peace with God. It is shalom. It is our final rest. It is our Shabbat shalom. And may we rejoice in it by God's grace. Let's pray together. Father, all of life worship begins with, is with, and rests with Jesus Messiah. Thank you for Jesus. Help us to be at peace with you, to rest with you, and to have hearts filled to know your love and receive your mercy and find grace as we have need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.